Welcome back. We got one more segment here with our dear friend, Dan Schaefer. Civic Media's own now, you know. That's a pretty big deal.
That's right. Part of the team. Part of the network.
Hey, baby. That's right.
And I got to give you a compliment here for your music selections on this show. I'm a big classic rock guy myself, and I always love the classic rock intros
Rational Revolution. That is the man behind the glass. That is our producer, Todd the God. He's the guy that does that. I say, I don't care what we play as long as we get it. So there's one song that we get in, and it's Bobby McGee, because that was Chris Alfheim's favorite song. And oh, so she played that once ever, and so we still do that. So that's our tip of the cap too. Senator-elect Chris Alfheim, former host. But so Wisconsin's got a lot going on. And I got to give you a tip of the cap, because you called this like weeks before it happened. So I don't know who the hell your sources are, but they're pretty good. you wrote a little op-ed. You called Ben Wickler the what candidate?
So one of the sources that I talked to when I was reporting this story on Ben Wickler potentially running for DNC chair, they called him the Goldilocks
candidate. That's what it was, the Goldilocks candidate. Yeah. That's right.
So it was like, you know, he's just right in a lot of ways. So he's liked by both progressives and centrists in the party, by big dollar donors and grassroots organizers. So it's just trying to, I think the way that he was characterized by this source was just that he can be the type of person that can really unite the Democratic Party under the big tent that it is, you know, in many ways supposed to be.
Well, and, you know, from my time on the Republican side, there's a lot of, you know, when the Republicans got their butts kicked by Obama the last time, but Wisconsin did really well, they tapped Reince Priebus, who was the Republican Party Wisconsin chair, to run the RNC. And I think there's a lot of, you know, there's some secret sauce here in Wisconsin if we have someone really good, which sucks, because Ben's really, really good.
Yeah.
I think that would be a loss for us. I mean, it would be great for Democrats all around Wisconsin, or all around the United States, but like, whew.
It would certainly leave a vacuum in Wisconsin. There's no doubt. But you know, I think there is, his term as state party chair ends this summer, I believe in June.
Yeah.
So it was no guarantee that he was going to be running for another term for state party chair anyway. You know, some of the sources that I was talking to when I was reporting that story mentioned that Wickler is at some point interested in running for statewide office in Wisconsin.
Really?
So whether that would have been, you know, governor in 2 years, whether that would be senator in 2028, you know, Wickler has had some interest in potentially running for something. So maybe he wouldn't be the state party chair after his term ends anyway. So I think it is really interesting that he's jumped into this race, and it does seem like the DNC chair race is going to come down to two Midwesterners. So we're going to have this very Wisconsin versus Minnesota, you know, Midwest, nice, passive aggressive campaign between Ben Wickler, the party chair in Wisconsin, and Ken Martin, the party chair in Minnesota, who I think has been kind of planning to run for this. He's been part of the DNC. He's been planning to run for this for a while. And I think Wickler, you know, after, you know, kind of being the most successful losing state, you know, which I think is significant, and sending Tammy Baldwin back to the Senate.
It's huge.
And all of that. And I think, you know, Wickler, I do think he really understands how to build parties in a lot of ways. And I think recognizing the state party aspect of this too. You mentioned Reince Priebus, and you know, I talked to a Republican source when I was working on this story as well, who said that the last two more successful RNC chairs were also state party chairs before that. So yeah. Reince Priebus is one example, and then Mike Whatley, is it, the current RNC chair? I'm bad with names, but he came from
the co-chairs or whatever the hell, because it's like.
Yeah, because you got to have somebody with the Trump's name as one of them. But he was the former state party chair in North Carolina before he became the RNC chair. So I think it does, you know, it is important to recognize that, you know, it's not just like the national fights and all of this. And it is really rebuilding the party and its infrastructure on a state level as well. And Wickler was on the Daily Show with Jon Stewart earlier.
He gave a great interview
to really break a lot of that down. So I'd encourage people to check that out if you want to see what Wickler is saying right now as a part of that.
Yeah, as we're talking with Dan Schaefer here, Civic Media's political director. I that is on my watch list to check out that interview because a couple of people texted me and he's getting a lot of play with, you know, so I think he's got a pretty decent shot. I didn't know that he was potentially looking to run for office in Wisconsin. He would be fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, but I think, you know, and this gets into, you know, kind of what you mentioned about what Governor Evers is going to do. There's kind of like a lot of political futures hinging on some of the decisions that are going to be made over the next 6 months here, you know, and what happens with Wickler's bid for DNC chair, whether Tony Evers chooses to run for a third term, and you know, what that might open up in races for, you know, who might be the next DNC chair or who might run for governor in 2 years. And so I think all of those conversations are in many ways connected.
Are you hearing anything from Evers or what he's going to do?
You know, I don't really know. I think right now he's got other priorities. Those of us in the political prognostication game might be interested in what he's going to do in a couple of years. But, you know, next year is the state budget year. He's doing some listening sessions. He was just in Milwaukee a couple of days ago for that. And I think, you know, that will be certainly the priority. I think it's going to be really important at the state level to see what happens once Trump is inaugurated, once he takes office on things like the promises of mass deportation or implementing tariffs or all of these different things. Like, I think that's going to be really important for kind of blue states, purple states who have, you know, Democratic governors to push back on this in a lot of ways. So I imagine that is certainly more of a priority for what the governor is dealing with right now. But I think it's going to be important to, you know, his decision is a big one, and like running for a third term,
he's 72. You know,
he's 70. Well, he'll be 75 in 2026. We actually have the same birthday.
He's 75. Really?
So he'll be 75 in 2026 in November. And so it'll be, you know, and I think that's a huge factor, but
it is a huge factor.
People are going to be tempted to make the Joe Biden comparisons, but I think it's kind of an unfair one because Joe Biden was really unpopular. And, you know, it's one thing to run, a really unpopular, 80 something year old president versus a very popular, and Charles Franklin always notes this in the, Marquette University Law School poll, Tony Evers is probably the most popular politician in the state of Wisconsin.
Really?
And so if 2026 comes around, if it does look like a more favorable year for Democrats, is that something that indicates that Tony Evers should run again? Or does that mean that you kind of open the door for a lot of these other folks who might be interested in a statewide run? And I think there are many. I think that the Democratic bench now is in much better shape than it was in a number of years ago. So some of the names that I had in my report there, you know, he's made it really no secret that he's interested in running for something. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, someone I'm a huge fan of, being from Milwaukee. I endorsed his bid for county executive back when he ran in 2020. So I think he would be a really interesting candidate. Attorney General Josh Call has made some noise about running. You've got Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, State Senator Kelda Royce had run for governor before. You wonder if she might be interested.
Mandela Barnes is still kicking around.
Mandela Barnes is still working in and around the state. So you've got a lot of people who might be interested in this. And I think some of those names, you know, if Evers does decide to run again, some of those names might be people who would run for state party chair. If Wickler gets the job to run the national party as well. So I think, you know, all of those folks on the who kind of higher up names on the Democratic bench would be really interesting to watch to see what they would do. I don't know. Are any other names come to mind for you for who might be in the mix there?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, you kind of look at, you know, who ran for what, and, you know, what I think that Tom Nelson is kind of, he's settled down. He knows that's where he's at. And, you know, I don't know if Justin Nichols in Manitowoc would do something because he's very well liked. And, you know, I heard he was kicking around something, but I don't know. you know, I think it really depends on what happens. If it's a good year for Democrats, I would almost want Tony Evers to stay the course, because if he is the most popular, you know, Democrat in Wisconsin, we need that rising tide to lift all of the ships from, you know, Assembly to Senate to Congress. And especially if there's no Trump at the top of the ticket, you need someone who is incredibly strong to bring everybody else up. And that is Tony Evers. I mean,
and I think that
go ahead.
And I think that brings an opportunity too, because we've, you know, for those of us who pay a lot of attention to the state legislature, you know, 2026 was always going to be the year that was most likely to flip both chambers.
Yep.
And so do you want, you know, does Tony Evers want a chance to govern with a majority?
Do something,
you know,
right.
And have a potential Democratic trifecta there. Would that give them a better chance? But again, it's just, for me, it doesn't come back to popularity or, you know, how well liked he is. It's not a Joe Biden comparison, but it's still an age factor. You know, he's still 75 is 75.
Right.
So, you know, I think a third term is a more difficult one to run for, too. I think we saw that with Tammy Baldwin this year. You know, it's more difficult to ask voters to send you back a third time than it is, you know, just for a simple reelection and whatever it might be, too. So I think that's a factor to consider.
Do you hear on the right who's, I hear Rebecca Clayfish is lurking and wondering what she wants to do. And, you know, anybody else that you hear?
Yeah. Tom Tiffany's name has kind of been around I don't really see him as a really particularly successful statewide candidate. No. He's certainly, you know, kind of getting his name out there a bit more. He's on the Fox Newses and whatever else. And you know, he's been very vocal about, especially like wanting mass deportation and very vocal on the immigration issue. You know, so that's one, I'll go back to the congressman who I think did especially well. If Brian Stile runs, I think that's a pretty formidable candidate. You know, whether he wants to do that, and he seems to be rising up in the ranks in the House, maybe that's the place for him to stay and potentially, you know, maybe run for Senate in 28 if Ron Johnson doesn't run again, if he wants to stay at the federal level. But I think, you know, just based on some electoral performance, like of Wisconsin's Republican congressmen, of those six Wisconsin Republican congressmen, Stile probably has the best prospects for a statewide run, I would think.
Yeah, and the good thing about Ron Johnson is he supports term limits and he's only going to run twice. So that's cool.
Right.
Yeah, right. So that's, you know, good on him. And now, you know, not 2 years down the road, we got a couple months down the road. We've got a state Supreme Court race. And I mean, when I saw Brad Schimmel's name, I was like, ooh, he's a formidable candidate.
He is a better candidate than Daniel Kelly.
Yes.
Which I not exactly the highest of bars to clear there.
That's true.
But, you know, considering Daniel Kelly lost two state Supreme Court seats, both by double digits, you know, Brad Schimmel has won a statewide race in Wisconsin.
Multiple times.
So he's got that going for him. What, wasn't it just the once though?
I thought he was in there twice. Maybe it might not be, but with Jimmy Van Hollen. I don't know. Was it once?
I think it was just the once he was elected in 2014, and then he lost to Josh Call in 2018. But yeah, he's a better candidate than Kelly, and I think, you know, he's run a statewide race before. He knows what he's doing in that regard. But I think a lot of the views that he's espoused on a number of, I think, issues that have been really critical to state Supreme Court races, namely abortion rights, you know, his views on that are maybe not really matching a 2024 electorate, maybe the way that they would have in 2014. So I think, you know, that is certainly going to be a thing that Democrats and liberals and those who are running against him, those who are supporting Judge Susan Crawford, will focus in on.
Well, Dan Schaefer, thank you so much. Our time is up. I appreciate that. We got to keep doing this. We got to make this a regular thing because, man, you are filled
Absolutely.
With a lot of brilliance. So I appreciate your time. And we'll catch you down the road.
I don't know if it's brilliance, maybe just a lot of hot air, but I appreciate the conversation.
Well, speaking of hot air, I've got a hot take next, so stick around, and we'll see you on the other side.